Welcome to the MMA Roadshow. Promised you there might be a bonus episode, and there will be a bonus episode. There must be a bonus episode after a night like we saw, UFC 194. An incredible night of action. Listen, said it was the best main card on paper that we've ever seen. Maybe didn't live up to that, but the co-main event was certainly fantastic. And, of course, what we're all going to be talking about for the foreseeable future, because, of course, we have to talk about it next week at UFC on Fox 18 with the lightweight title fight in there. I mean, the stories just write themselves. It's amazing. But Conor McGregor is your undisputed UFC featherweight champion. Amazing. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffey is gone. He's asleep. As I'm recording this, it's creeping up on 4 o'clock in the morning here in Las Vegas. There is nobody else around save for my man Simon Head, who is. Has been a road warrior this week, to be honest with you. He's been spending a lot of time with me. But there's a big, massive, empty press room. There's a lot of empty beer bottles, which you'll find out about that later on. There's a few beers that need to still be consumed as well. But it was such a special evening that I did want to take a moment and just gather the reaction. 13-second knockout. Conor McGregor knocks out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. A one-hitter quitter, one shot, and it's over. 1 year of hype, 10 years of an undefeated record. It's all done in one insane moment. And I thought, what better thing to do than to walk around the press room? And is everybody still kind of focusing and trying to figure out what happened and getting their stories filed and really just processing it all? I mean, I think everybody I talked to, myself included, was still trying to process exactly what we'd seen, man. This Conor McGregor, he is something special, man. The guy just a couple years ago was this brash Irishman who was promising the world, and you didn't know whether to take him for real or not. And after his one-sided defeat of Jose Aldo, there's no way you can't take him for real anymore. I can't doubt a damn word that comes out of his mouth anymore, man. You try to compare him to Chael Sonnen, it's not even fair. You try to compare the hype, the pitch man, the promoter, and it's not even fair. The guy ends up running his own post-fight press conference. And not that we've never seen one guy at the dais before. We've seen that before. But not for one guy to move a UFC vice president aside and say, you know what, I got this. I'm going to stand right here at the podium. So an unbelievable night, an unbelievable week of fights, 3 nights in a row, 34 fights. So much happened in the past week, but everything's going to be focused around Conor McGregor, and rightfully so. And it's going to stay focused around Conor McGregor because he's talking about maybe going up and challenging for that lightweight title. You can bet I will not be going to Orlando, Florida, but Matt Erickson and Justin Park will be, and you can imagine there will be plenty of questions of Rafael dos Anjos and Cowboy Cerrone about what happened here tonight in Las Vegas. So it's getting late. I'm going to try to wrap things up, but I had to share this with you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed it all. I spoke to a number of friends of the show that you'll know, Danny Austin, E. Spencer Kite, MMA Junkie's own Steven Morocco. Reached out to David Doyle. That's right. Speaking with the enemy. That's right. One of MMA Fighting's own. We got him on record. That's crazy. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Got the Brazilian perspective. Jorge Correa, good friend of mine from down in Brazil, who was beside himself, got his perspective a little bit, what it means for the Brazilian scene, what it means moving forward. And closing up shop, Simon Head. He's a top man. He's a top man. He's sitting here finishing a beer right next to me. I'm not going to let him talk, though. I'm going to pretend like he's not here. But we're going to finish up a few frosty beverages. I'm going to try to get some sleep, hopefully. I'm going to try to enjoy some time with my family, hopefully. I'm going to try to enjoy my Sunday a little bit, but I don't even know if I can do it because I'm still buzzing. Some 5-6 hours after this thing all went down, I imagine you guys are too. So why don't we take you inside the press room and let you hear what we were all talking about in the aftermath of UFC 194, an event that will not soon be forgotten. Conor McGregor, your new undisputed UFC featherweight champion.
I'm allowed to speak. swear on this thing, right?
Oh, you can say whatever you want on this thing.
Because I could start this by saying, God damn.
That's where you got to start. Well, my man, that's just E. Spencer Kite, and we know where that's come from.
Covered that.
No, man, yeah. God damn, that's a great place to start,
God
man.
God damn.
Kind of, it's still pretty fresh, and we got to see the press conference. We got to kind of soak it in a little bit, but it is still kind of one of those things where you just say, God damn.
Well, and it's one of those things, like, it's fresh, but now as you start processing it and you start thinking back, it's like, is that really what I just saw? Like, is this really, like, you're trying, we're all starting to put words to it. We're all trying to put it together, and it still feels like you can't. And I don't know that we're going to be able to really grasp all of this and have a full sense of it until, as the man said, he comes back after New Year's and lets us know what his plan is going forward. Because it's kind of his world right now, and we're just living in it.
No doubt. Let's talk about watching the fight live. Did you know exactly what happened when it went down?
Knew what
I'm not gonna be honest. I'll be honest. I was still kind of settling in, checking some tweets, making sure my play-by-play was good.
So as they were coming out, as it started, and Connor came out, and his entrance is getting up there already as one of the better ones. The combo, Sinead, Biggie. Aldo's has always been one of my favorites. He debuted Run This Town, I believe, in Sacramento against Faber.
That's right.
And it's always been great since, because it's just like, I'm just let you know, the king's here. And so I looked over at Danny and was just like, you know what? And I closed my laptop. I just sat back and I was like, I'm not tweeting. I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking all of this in. And just wait
in for the
and just
experience.
No matter if this goes 25 or this goes 15 seconds, I'm not doing anything but watching this fight.
Smart man.
And sure enough, man, but like still just he hits that pivot and lands that left and you're like, the hell did that just really, like, is that really what just happened? Like, here we are waiting, thinking all week, all year it has been, this is the moment where we get to find out how legit this guy is. Not if he's legit, because I think anybody that has any smarts about them knew by this point, dude's legit.
Right.
But Jose Aldo's a different animal, and this is how legit is Conor McGregor. It took him 13 seconds to just upend, like 13 seconds to end 10 years undefeated, to change only featherweight champion in history, and to make, as he said here tonight, two division simultaneous champ is a possibility.
That's insane.
And he will, I mean, you tell me, he'll fight for that and he'll try to win that battle.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for the UFC to say no.
It's going to be real hard for the UFC to say. It was funny because, you know, Dana goes on and says, well, if he wants to, you know, give up the title and move up, we'll do that. And this guy preemptively is already like, by the way, I'm not giving up the title, which is genius, because then if you go up to lightweight, let's say worst case scenario, you go up to lightweight and you get destroyed. It turns out you're actually not a lightweight. You still go back down and you're a champ. It's brilliant.
Well, and laid out a little bit of the like roadmap for it too. And it proves and it shows further, I guess, because we've been seeing it all along now, how much this guy thinks about these things in advance. Like, he came up here with a game plan of understanding what's happening in these divisions, of knowing that next week's fight isn't on Fox because those guys aren't, or is on Fox, not on pay-per-view,
right,
because that division needs me. There's a contender that has come up now, Frankie Edgar, so maybe he's ready. If not, maybe they sort themselves out. But I like to stay active, so why can't I defend both titles? And as soon as he said it, I sat back and thought, if anybody's that's ever been in this position close could do it, that's the dude.
How about the fact that he just takes the podium? I mean, just that in itself. I mean, it seems like kind of a trivial, funny thing, but like that, I can't think of another fighter that has ever even played around like, let me have the podium.
He has had a commanding presence. I mean, you go back and you look at that first win in Sweden, where Kenny comes in and he cuts the 60 G's, baby. I got a chance to meet him and be at SBG about a month later. Even then, he had this aura, this commanding presence, walking down the street, going into Louis Copeland's, getting some new Dickie bows, just everything. And it's not just like he gets asked all the time, and it happened again on the conference call. Is this an act? Is this a persona? It's not. This is who he is. He has that confidence, and swagger is such a ridiculous word that it feels like it cheapens what he has,
right?
Because this is just a mindset of, like I said earlier, it's his world right now, and we're just along detailing it and letting people know what's happening from the front lines.
It's funny, I didn't know you had that time at SPG. I was at the Sweden event when he debuted. I met Kavanaugh, and that was the first time I'd actually met John Kavanaugh, and it was the first time I met, I'd seen Connor fight.
He'd been a junkie radio. Pop up on the radio.
Yeah, but it was the first time I'd really talked to him. And John Kavanaugh, when I was waiting to tell him, was like, dude, this guy's special. Now, granted, how many times do people tell us, dude, my guy's special?
Every coach will tell you their guy is special.
Right. So, but, I mean, then we watched him fight. Then we watched the charisma that he had. We watched the way he handled himself at the press conference afterwards. All those things. So you spent that time at SPG. Did you think he was special, or did you just think, well, this is a guy I'll keep my eye on?
Coming out of that first fight, it was clear that he was a guy that the UFC quickly had blown up and become a thing. I mean, going into that fight, it was on the prelims, and it was one of the fights that everybody was talking about the most. So you knew it was one of those things where this is a guy that's catching on. So I was going over on a family holiday, got in touch with Seth Kelly from the now defunct UFC magazine.
Yeah.
RIP, guys. God bless you. And said, listen, I'm going over. I should totally go and talk to this dude. I'm going to be in Dublin. And he was like, absolutely. So made my family suffer through a day where I wasn't really around and some stuff got delayed. My brother-in-law wasn't able to do the test your pouring skills at the storehouse. But we still got up to the deck to have one with the panoramic view. So it's all good. But I knew in that moment, in that couple hours of being around Connor, but more so, as you said, talking with John Kavanaugh, who is a guy that, for anybody that has talked to him, anybody that has heard him,
sharp.
You understand there's a different level than some of these other coaches. And as we said, every coach gives you, oh, you should see my guy, he's coming up and he's doing this. John speaks highly of lots of his guys, and I talked to Cathal Pendred when I was there as well, and John talked about Cathal, and oh, he's this and that and coming up, and it was going into his fight with Shane Mills, so that was a big fight for him. But there was just always this different spark about Connor, and he said, you know, he's the thing that stood out for me is he said, whatever this kid does, he could be a master at. If he wanted to be a chef, give him 6 months and he'll be cooking at the finest restaurant. If he wanted to do this, he calls me. And that's when I first heard he sends me texts at 4 a.m. of silverbacks fighting in the jungle, asking about what kind of movement this is and can we do this? And you think it's ridiculous, but then you ask Connor about it and he says yes. And then you talk to Gunny Nelson about it and he says, oh yes, this is what we do and it's how we think. And so from that point forward, I've been hooked and just waiting to see this ride play out.
It's bizarre. I was just talking to Danny, and he called it new age shit. It is. Like, yeah, you think about the open workout.
Some new age shit,
man. You're like, what is this?
I need to get me a movement coach.
Let me ask you something. There was a big fall recently with Ronda Rousey. The backlash was insane. And I wonder, because it was funny, because a good friend of mine, Fernanda Price, we were talking, and you know, she was saying how she thought the backlash was kind of sexist and this sort of thing, and just the whole, or the way Ronda's expected to act because she's a woman and all this. But as I was arguing with her and saying, I don't think it is so much, my point was, if Connor loses this fight, Brazil's going to dance on his grave, and people and people around the world are going to be I don't know if they would turn on the way they turned on Ronda, but they would definitely turn on him. But what do you think? Because I see the guy tonight, man, and I mean, he's got the press laughing. He's got, he's handling himself so well. He's so well spoken. He's, correcting Kevin Ioli. It was not a $10 million gate. It was a
10.1.
Just all these wonderful things he does. Do you think he's setting himself up for a big fall at some point? Or is this guy just some kind of incredibly charismatic, incredibly likable guy that's just going to be a superstar?
I think there's always going to be room for that fall. I mean, it's just who we are as society. We love seeing our heroes fall. We love seeing celebrities crumble because we love that build up on the comeback, on the next side of it. We love cheering every side of it. it's interesting tonight seeing, you know, immediately people talking about, oh, the fix was in, which is it's just such bullshit to think, like, really? Come on. I don't even want to address it because it's just that ridiculous. One of the things Danny and I said after Connor's little controlling the room up there was, it doesn't have to be bravado anymore. So up until today, there was that bravado. There was that, I'm going to do this, you don't believe me, sort of. You had a reason to doubt him, and he sounded like that cocky guy in the room that told you how great he was and maybe never got around to proving it. What? I mean, I think he said it. What's there left to say? What more? Like, you could try to tear him down. You can try to, you know, lucky punch. Jose deserves a rematch. He'll get him next, whatever. But right this moment, that's the undisputed featherweight champion. And there's zero avenues to tear this dude down right now because he's beaten every challenger. He just stopped 10 years unbeaten in 13 seconds. And he's already talking about what's next. And next is doing something unprecedented. Well, how do you not at least just begrudgingly respect that guy right now? And I think we saw that tonight, and I think he's clued into that a little bit, even in whatever it's been an hour after his fight, of like, I don't have to go up there and, you know, pull my bollocks out and tell everybody that I'm the best. Yep. I just proved it. I could show up in my suit, have a laugh, put the belt on my shoulder, and go home.
My man. Well, I appreciate the time, brother. I know we both got some writing to do.
Always a pleasure.
We got some frosty beverages to drink. I hope you're partaking.
I'm a month off the booze, trying to do a little bit better, trying to clean some health stuff up, getting a little better shape. I want to make 205 at some point in 2016. That's the goal. So if I can get it down to 215 where I know I can make a cut, I'll be happy. So the frosty beverages don't help in that regard. So,
well, I'm actually trying to shed a few myself.
I'll let you have one for me. Yeah. When they're free, it's hard. That's why I was packing up the bag. I was like, we're sitting here, everybody's diving into cold beer and talking fights. I want to just sit around and powwow. So I got to go and get a bottle of water somewhere.
All right. Well, duck out before you mess up.
Cool, man. Appreciate it.
But that seems like a lot of fucking work, so
yeah,
I think we'll do it on the fly. All right, well, the magnificent one, Steve Morocco. Don't make it to Vegas a whole lot, but you came. This was certainly a big event. We had a little bit different perspective of things. Of course, I was sitting on press row. You had been busting your ass in the back all night. But for the main card, there's nothing you can do with the main card. At that point, you're stuck watching. So you basically had a seat, right, out in the arena. So I'm thinking that, honestly, in a lot of ways, while I was really close, you kind of had a pretty cool perspective on things because you were in the middle of the chaos and the insanity. Just kind of describe what the atmosphere was like.
I think the key distinction is I got showered with more beer than you, which was basically the immediate reaction from Connor getting the knockout. Journalists with little mini Irish flags cheering for Connor. That was fun.
That's interesting.
A little interesting. And the streaming for the doors that everyone did just moments after, like just taking in the victory, and then it was like a really fast exodus. I assumed to go get an adult beverage. I could be wrong, but you and I have been to some crazy shows in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
We were there for 193 and that craziness, and now we're here for this one, which was crazy in a different way, because you have these two megastars, one of whom got finished in a really shocking fashion, and the other who finished someone else in a really shocking fashion as well. So, man, it was a great show. I'm actually kind of glad I got that bird's eye view from it.
Sure.
As opposed to like right there where you don't always get that immediacy. Now, that being said, I would have loved to have heard the shot. And actually, sometimes you, when you're KHL, you actually feel these shots. And I don't know if you felt that, but that would have been cool.
No, you're right. It's funny. I mean, trust me, I'm never going to want to give up my KHL seat. I'm very, very fortunate to have that. And I enjoy watching the seat from there because of those things you said, the sounds, the feels that you don't get in the press room, watching on TV. Sometimes it doesn't translate well. But this was one of those rare moments where I'd say, like, it would be kind of cool to be out there just because looking around. I was worried earlier in the week because, you know, at some of the media events and some of the open workouts and things like that, like, there weren't that many Irish here. And I'm like, God, is this too much to ask them to make two trips, you know, in 1 year? Is this too much to ask them to come near the holidays? Are they not going to show up in force? But looking around tonight, I mean, I felt like it was a very pro-McGregor crowd. And it's funny because you did mention the mass exodus, but I will say the mass exodus took a little bit longer than it normally does because normally I feel like at these fights, you know, the main event's over. Like, as Rogan's talking to guys, like, people are already heading for the doors. Like,
that's true.
I did feel like there was, like, a hesitation. Like, everybody wanted to say and kind of savor it in. What was your immediate reaction? You see it happen. You see it go down. Were you disappointed? Were you like, what the hell is going on? Were you like, that's amazing? What was, the first instinct as Aldo goes down in 13 seconds? What's your thought?
I thought, whoa. And B, like, after a few seconds, I was just kind of left with this lingering feeling like, huh, that's it? You know? I mean, like, it was spectacular, an amazing left hand. He called it. He really does. And the interesting thing that he said at the press conference was he didn't throw that left hand. He pushed it out.
Right.
He made Aldo run right into it. Which is, if you think about it, it's kind of similar to what Silva did with Griffin so many years ago. When you just place it somewhere and someone's own momentum knocks them out.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but wonder, like, a few minutes later, like, I wonder how the Irish people, how the Irish fans who came 7,000 miles for this feel after a 13-second knockout. Is it just like, great, we're back to the bar?
Yeah.
Or is it like, did they want their guy to have a little bit more of a battle? It seems to me they're pretty happy with the result. Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
But it was funny that even Connor mentioned a little bit, you know, I would have liked it to be a little bit longer, you know, because as much talk, that was that if we look at this from a bird's eye view, it was so much talk for so little cage time.
All right.
So much money. Yeah, a year.
That's like a month a second.
And how many hundreds of thousands of dollars did they spend on that press tour? Like, they toured all over. That's where Connor got injured.
I heard rumors that was $1 million press tour.
$1 million press tour. How much did they spend? Now, look, they're fine. They're totally cool. They really took this one to the bank. But it's interesting that all of that came to this little poof, you know. Yeah. And in... I guess that's just, you know, sometimes that's the way it works in MMA. You know, legacies or careers come to just this short right angle.
Right.
And then before you know it, it's gone. It's a wisp of smoke.
It's insane.
Yeah.
You've been covering the game a very long time. You've seen a lot of fights. Where was your attention when the fight was over? Were you paying more attention to Conor McGregor celebrating or Jose Aldo mourning, if there's, you know, for lack of a better word? Whose body language were you looking at more? What were you taking in more? What was your, as the whole kind of post-fight thing is unfolding, where was your attention and what were your thoughts?
At first it was Conor McGregor, but then it was Jose, because it was actually kind of a shocking reaction to me. Like, I kind of felt bad for him. Like, he had his face in the towel and he was quite obviously crying. I can't imagine how bad he feels after all this. And I think where he goes from here is going to say a lot about his character. Does he completely forget it? This was just a thing. And obviously he asked for a rematch afterwards, and I don't think he's going to get it.
Oh, man.
He cost him a lot of money when he pulled out in July. And I think he's going to have to work his way back up. And this is going to be a really true test of his character. So I was focused on him because I tend to look at the little guy.
Yeah.
I tend to, you know, the winners are great, and I love basking in the revelry or something and stuff like that. But oftentimes I look at the cost of all this, and that's kind of, I don't know. That's how it kind of shifted for me a little bit.
I was the same way, man. Seeing Jose Aldo walk out with a towel over his head, you know, I kept thinking back to the countdown show where he said, like, if I don't win this fight, like, it stains everything that I've done. It's just like, wow, like, everything comes crashing. And then I had a which I didn't even realize, and I think they've done this a lot lately, but I haven't paid attention to it. And maybe I need to more, is the live streaming from the locker rooms of the main event competitors. And somebody tweeted me a picture.
That's right.
Of, you know, the team kneeling. It's like a funeral.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
And we don't spend a lot of time in locker rooms before or after. That's one thing that I would really like to do, is go with someone through the entire thing, win or loss, and be in that room just to feel that vibe.
Yeah. Conor McGregor came in, commanded the press conference. I found it to be kind of entertaining. It's funny, like, I feel like he's gone through, like, all these different versions of himself. In the beginning, it was the 60 G's, baby, the pocket watch, you know, three-piece suit, all this. It was fun, you know, it was fun. And then over the summer, and I asked him this when we had the lunch in L.A. a couple weeks ago, because over the summer, like, I felt like it was kind of like this angry, brooding Conor McGregor, like, you don't get me, and I don't, you know.
Why is that?
I thought that was the kind of vibe that he was putting off, you know what I mean? Like, just, I felt like it was more tension, like, you know, he's starting to be the guy in the sunglasses, and as the beard grows a little bit longer, and is, you know, I just felt like he was
beleaguered by his own success?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then tonight, I felt like he was kind of having fun again, you know, he jockeyed with Schaller to get the podium, and you know, he's, you know, it's not correcting Kevin Ioli about the gate, you know, add that point and one on there, and, you know, thanking the media for their efforts, and, you know, I mean, just, I felt like tonight he was having fun again. What do you think about Conor as a character? As I mean, it's not pro wrestling, but we do kind of follow these guys and their emotions and their stories and all those things. I mean, is he a likable guy? Is he an unlikable guy? Is he relatable to anybody that's not Irish? Is this a guy that people can get behind, or is it a guy that people are going to be like, because, you know, fighters don't care whether you like him or hate him as long as you pay $50. Is he going to be a guy that people like, or is he going to be a guy that people hate?
I think early on in his act, people found him very charming because he's got that brogue. He's got that Irish, that lilt, that extremely charming lilt, and he's very good on the mic. He thinks, he's an active thinker on the mic. He improvises, and he improvises well. He doesn't resort to canned statements. He's creative while he's actually, you know, creating press, yeah. Creating comments, creating quotes. That being said, same as Rousey, the more successful he's gotten and the more outspoken he's gotten, I think the more a lot of people have started to sharpen their knives and wait for that downfall. And I think a lot of people were really thinking that he was going to have a serious correction. So I think actually there's going to be a lot more haters coming out.
I do too.
You know, I just think that in this world, you know, if you see what Floyd went through or goes through, or anybody who has tremendous amount of success in this world, a lot of people want to see a fall.
Right.
And so I think that it's going to continue to be that way. And either he's going to sort of embrace it a little bit more and kind of have fun with it, or he's going to withdraw a little bit. I can see him kind of embracing it.
Yeah.
And kind of being just like, you know, because it seems like he's embraced every moment that kind of comes to him. Very secret-like, you know, the whole thing. And it was just odd seeing him being in the press conference like, all right, this is my press conference. Move over, Schaller. That's, like, I couldn't help but thinking. I asked him the question at the press conference, and some people thought it was silly, but, other people thought it was good. Like, are you trying to co-promote here? Because I was like, really does seem like you're thinking about, you want to kind of run the ship as well. So, yeah, it's always a spectacle, and it's always a fun one to watch.
Guy's going to be paid, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is for sure.
All right, let's go get some work done and maybe have a frosty beverage or two.
There you go.
All right, man. Well, my man Dave Doyle, go ahead.
What's this for?
Just for my podcast.
All right, so, cool. Yeah.
So I'll edit it together, so we'll cut out all this bullshit and stuff. So it's just for my podcast. All right, my man Dave Doyle, I can always count on you as the voice of reason. We've had a little bit of time, we're settling in a little bit, but, you know,
people get hyped, they get emotional, and then I see you come in on Twitter and check everybody and say, hey, chill out, here's what we're – help me understand what we're looking at, because the emotion in there when Conor McGregor won this fight, and obviously Ireland was going nuts, and it looks like the emergence of a new superstar. It looks like – I mean, it looks like a very – like a seminal moment or whatever, but – Are we getting a little too excited because it's still Saturday night? Do we need to let it chill a little bit, or was this a special moment?
No, this was a pretty damn special moment. You know, I've been doing this. My first UFC show I covered was UFC 58 back in 2006. So I've been at a lot of these by this point. And now that I've had a few hours to kind of mull this over, I think the only more surprising moment I've ever seen at a UFC event was when Chris Weidman knocked out Anderson Silva the first time. Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, look. I don't know that we've ever seen a rise of a fighter quite like Conor McGregor and where he started from in the UFC, and we've never had anyone tell us every step along the way, I'm going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and do every single one of them. And then to cap it off the way he did tonight, I mean, he knocked out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. Jose Aldo hasn't lost in 10 years. No one is overstating this.
That's amazing. There's not a lot of fight to break down. I mean, there's not a lot of footage to think about and to mull through and to go over. I mean, like, we can look at Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold, and we can say, oh, Chris, why'd you throw that spinning hook kick? That was an awful idea. That changed for you. There's not a moment we can point to. I mean, Conor just came out, he countered the first flurry, and he knocked him out. But I've seen some people saying Conor was in Jose's head. He definitely was in his head. That was not Jose. I mean, you've seen a lot of Jose Aldo fights. You've seen walkouts. You've seen him. He does the same thing where he looks down. I mean, there's all these things. Did you see anything that leads you to believe that was the case?
See, at the weigh-ins yesterday, I thought Aldo had the mental edge. Mm. You know, he was the one that kind of took – he was doing Conor's poses. I actually thought Aldo kind of won the mental battle at the weigh-ins. So, I mean you know, but at the same time, my coworker at MMAfighting.com, Guillermo Cruz, pointed out that usually Jose is just looking straight down when he's introduced, but he was actually looking across the cage at Conor this time around, which is a kind of a new thing for him. So maybe he was. Who knows?
So I didn't catch that. So he was looking down, but still looking.
But still
up,
looking across.
His head was definitely positioned down.
But he was looking across the cage at Conor, which is something that's new for him. So maybe he was tensed up. Maybe he wasn't the same Jose Aldo we used to see. We'll find out.
It sounds like the rematch has been ruled out. I mean, obviously we were talking to Dave Schaller, not Dana White, but Dave Schaller said that from Dana, the options are either Frankie Edgar or lightweight. I thought the options were either Aldo, Edgar, or lightweight. It sounds like they already ruled that one out. Assuming that's the case, and this is the UFC, you've been covering it for a long time.
Sure.
Things can change
sure,
in a
sure,
heartbeat.
Sure.
But assuming that is what happens, are you okay with that? Do you feel like that's the right call from the UFC?
Man, you know, let things play out a little bit, see what happens next week. I can't blame Conor for wanting to take a little bit of time off. You know, let's see where Aldo's head at. I do think, part of me kind of thinks that Jose was the champion for as long as he was. If he wants the rematch, he should probably get it, but man, it's a tough call, you know. But I, you know, one thing that's for sure is that when you saw Conor up here holding his own little press conference, he understands. He knows how much influence he wields. He knows how much power he has. So few fighters seem to get that. You know, you have to take advantage of your leverage while you had it. You heard him say, "If I go after the 155 belt, I'm not dropping my 145 belt." This guy gets it like few other fighters do. So whatever the right call is, McGregor's going to figure it out.
What was your pick coming into the fight? I mean, I know nobody said 13-second knockout, but what was your pick coming in?
I have a hard time. I can't remember all the longtime champions. I can't.
It's hard to pick against.
I've never picked against any of them. I always kind of lean towards you give the longtime champ just the benefit of the doubt until then. So I went with Aldo, even though there was a little voice in my head saying, no, maybe you shouldn't.
Right. Yeah, it was tough. I went with Aldo as well. And I thought the same thing, that Conor had the ability. He's not all talk. I mean, people are trying to dismiss him as all talk.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's just when you don't see a guy lose for a decade, it's kind of hard to go against them.
Sure. And then, you know, not only that, but you did wonder, okay, so did McGregor get lucky against Chad Mendes? Was he really that hurt? But it seemed like he had been a bit exposed. So in your head, you're going, well, if Aldo gets Conor to the ground, that's probably it. But
right.
Conor never gave him the chance.
He's talking about going to lightweight, and I'm having a hard time doubting anything the guy says anymore. But what do you think? I mean, when you picture him going to lightweight, do you think he'd be as successful, or is he biting off more than he can chew?
You know, he cut so damn much weight. He was so much bigger than Aldo out there today. Generally speaking, I'd lean against the guy who is going up in a weight class. But he cut so much weight that, you know, if he's fighting a Cerrone or RDA, I don't know. At this point, I don't want to doubt anything.
I know, right?
That he does. But, I mean... You know, I don't think it would be a situation like George St. Pierre versus BJ Penn. We'll say that.
Yeah, that makes some sense. What do you think? Because this year I thought for sure – I had this argument with people, but to me, Rousey was the biggest star in the sport. No doubt about it. Mainstream, you know, maybe not within the fight community, but
within
a whole, outside the MMA bubble. But Rousey got beat pretty soundly. Conor is now the undisputed champ. Is there a chance that Conor becomes the biggest star in the sport?
This might be it. This might be the moment, you know? I mean, I think if Rousey comes back and fights Holly Holm, that's still the biggest fight that can be made.
True.
But in a you know, on a deeper sense, I mean, these fights happened back-to-back, and Conor got the job done when he had to and Ronda didn't, you know? So, I don't know how the site was trending on your site, my worthy competitor here, but I know MMA Fighting was clicking through the roof tonight, so maybe this was the night.
I agree. No, it's funny that, you know, since you mentioned that, yeah, I mean, obviously we'll never talk hard numbers and hard data,
but
it was definitely Rousey-esque levels. It was Anderson Silva prime-esque levels. It was incredible. And when Dave Schaller stands up there and says that, you know, everything that we see is that this is the biggest of the year and maybe the biggest of all time, I don't doubt it, man. There's something special. This guy gets it. Can you put your finger on what it is?
Well, I mean, you know, there's So, for one thing, he has that. If you're the guy who half the audience loves you and half the audience wants to see you get your ass kicked, but everyone's paying to see you, that's the gold standard for drawing in combat sports. But when you back up your talk, you know, that, I mean, Muhammad Ali backed up his talk, and that's why he was that's why he became as big as he was. And I'm not trying to say Conor McGregor is Muhammad Ali,
right,
but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's true, because I think, you know, he gets the comparisons to Chael Sonnen all the time. But Chael, and I love Chael, I still love Chael to this day.
Chael didn't get it done.
He was an actor. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was great at it.
He was straight out of pro wrestling.
Yeah, but it was fun. I loved it. But this, I feel like, and at first I thought Conor was kind of acting too, but like, I think he's just being honest about everything he says.
Everything. I can't look back at anything Conor McGregor said. Maybe it sounds outrageous, but I don't know anything he ever said that he didn't believe.
Yep. Three events in 3 days, busy week. Was it too much for you? Was it good?
Well, you know, I actually only came out here for tonight.
Right.
You know, I was watching. I watched the Thursday night fight at home back in Los Angeles, and I watched last night from my hotel room here in Vegas. So I didn't have the same experience you did being, like, cage side three nights in a row. But so once in a year type of thing, I dug it, you know? I did. I mean, and then every night, like, something consequential happened every night. We saw, you know, I mean, great performance by Rose on Thursday night. We... Sage won another fight. That story continues for whatever that's worth.
Conor versus Sage next?
Maybe not quite yet. But, you know, Friday night, fantastic performance by Frankie Edgar. Almost the fight of the year with Tony Ferguson and Edson Barboza. So if they do this once a year, sure, why the hell not? Why the hell not do a Super Bowl of MMA every year?
I like it. To me, this was better than International Fight Week. This was like a real International Fight Week. Like, I mean, no offense to the people that run the expo and put their heart in. I know it's tough, but to me, like, to hell with all that. Let's just do three nights of fights in a row.
Yeah, and you know, it's certainly, I hope they don't get any ideas in their head about doing this every month or anything like that, because every time you think they can't push us any further, they do. But it worked this time, so why not make it a yearly event?
Awesome. All right, last question. You get to play matchmaker. You get to do it. Would you rather see Connor face Frankie next? Because Frankie has looked incredible and definitely deserved it. Or would you rather see him face the winner of that lightweight title fight? Or do you need to see who the winner is first before you make that decision?
So if I was thinking business, I would, if Donald Cerrone wins, I mean, Connor against the Cowboy would be probably, that would shatter damn near every record. The hardcore MMA geek fan of me would just love to see Connor against Frankie. So can go either or.
And if it's RDA, just...
Oh, you know.
poor
He's Desaunde. A nice guy. Great fighter.
Awesome, man. All right, are you heading back to L.A. tonight?
I'm heading back tomorrow.
All right, well, at least you get some sleep, man. I appreciate
you got it,
brother.
Thank you. Anytime.
Talk to you. Nice stuff.
I'm going to my. I'm going back tomorrow. No, today.
Today?
Yeah,
later today. Well, let's talk about it. Devastating loss, of course, especially from a Brazilian point of view. Just your initial thoughts, your initial reaction, watching the fight unfold. What did you think?
At the beginning, it was very surprising, but if you see the fight. After we can saw and Jose Aldo too open. It's not Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo always fight more cautious, more studying your opponent. So it's strange how Aldo attacked Conor like this way.
Yeah, it's a lot of people were saying that Jose Aldo. Conor McGregor did get into his head. All the trash talk, all the build-up, Jose insisted he didn't, but there was something different.
Probably. Aldo was more worried. You can see in his face he was more worried than he never was in his career. It was a little stranger for us in Brazil.
Well, what is the reaction right now? Help us to understand. Are people surprised, disappointed, upset?
Surprise and upset. It's normal to be disappointed because Jose Aldo was invicted, have no loss in 10 years. So it's strange. To us, it's more strange see the MMA without Jose Aldo as a champion.
Yeah,
it's really strange. But in Brazil, it's common. It happened with Anderson Silva. It happened with Junior dos Santos. And now happened with Aldo.
I wonder because obviously I've been down to Brazil a number of times. I know that Brazil supports champions. They love winners. But I also know that Jose Aldo really connected with the people. He's like a man of the people. Do you feel like his status as a superstar will be affected by this? Or do you think people still love him?
A little. Not as Anderson Silva. I believe Aldo, the people will embrace Aldo more than other guys like Anderson Silva or Junior dos Santos. Aldo always be as the people's champion, like we like to say in Brazil. And I think he will come back. I don't believe against Conor, but I really think he will be the champion again.
It does sound like the rematch isn't happening. Do you think that's a good thing, maybe? A bad thing?
It's a good thing. I don't want to see Aldo fight against Conor. Because it's not a good matchup for Aldo, and we see this fight.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that Jose Aldo moves up in weight? I mean, I know it's been a tough weight cut. Do you think there's any chance?
I don't believe in this. Not for now. I believe Aldo will try this title again to move up. The whole plan at his team is when he will move up. Is move up as the champion.
Right. How do you think Brazil is going to look at Conor McGregor? Do you think they will respect him and see that he is a good champion, he beat their man, or do you think they'll always hate him?
Yeah, Conor was very respectful after the fight, so probably this will good for Conor in Brazil. Conor probably will go to Brazil and the people will accept him very well.
Awesome.
Awesome, man. Well, long flight home?
Yeah, more 12, no, 16 hours.
All right, brother. Flight. Appreciate the time, bro. Good to see you, man. I'll see you in Brazil soon.
All right, my man Sai. Now, the great thing about the British is that you never mince adjectives or superlatives, and you always have a fun headline and a thing to say, but give me the idea, man. Watching things unfold, you were right next to me on press row, so you had a very similar point of view, but just from your perspective, what did you witness tonight?
What I witnessed was the most ridiculous, shocking, incredible piece of sporting drama that I've witnessed in 15 years of covering sport. I've covered World Cups, World Cup soccer, FA Cup finals, Olympic Games. I've been to some big sporting events down the years. That 13 seconds was just the single most dramatic thing I've ever seen in the sporting sphere. It was shocking. And what made it even more shocking and even more remarkable was the fact that Conor called this weeks ago. The first exchange, he will crumble. He'll overcommit. I'll catch him with the left and he will crumble. That's exactly what happened.
It's amazing.
Exactly what happened. And I'm still trying to process it now. I feel slightly shell-shocked because we were sat there watching it. And normally when a fight starts, you can kind of ease your way into it, sure, can't you? But it was... I don't think it was quite his first punch. It might have been his second punch. I think he threw a jab out there and he might have chucked an oblique kick at some point. But it was basically the first punch in anger.
Right.
And it landed clean. And it quite often when you see someone land a solid shot, you're landing pretty solidly on the jawline and it is a thud. This sort of clipped the tip of the jaw, just went straight through. The trajectory of the punch just carried on. And as soon as he hit it, I shouted quite loudly something containing expletives, but it ended with he's out.
Yeah.
And it was just through total shock. This is a guy who I think I've only seen him floored once. I think Chad Mendes knocked him down in their second contest. Right. He caught him with a counter left.
He basically popped his head back up after that.
Yeah. It was one of those where he got caught off balance and he was on the seat of his pants and he jumped straight back up.
Yeah.
So it was a knockdown, but it was a flash knockdown. It wasn't someone who'd been knocked out or dazed. It just caught him by surprise. This was as dramatic and as emphatic a finish as you'll ever see in the UFC. UFC record, 13 seconds. You know, I never thought I'd see something quicker than Ronda Rousey's 14-second finish of Kat Zingano at 184. But that was just incredible. As I say, I'm still trying to process it, which is why I'm slightly stumbling over my words.
That's why I wanted to sit down. It's
incredible stuff.
I think that's why I wanted to sit down and talk to other people, because I'm still processing. I don't think I have the words, man. I think I needed other people to try to help fill in the words for me. You know, as you said, you've been covering mixed martial arts, but you've also covered boxing and you know, sport for a long time. But talk to me about the way, because it's funny, because Conor's style, it's, first of all, it's very unique. It's flashy, but it's actually purposeful in its flashiness. But the other thing too, and he talks about his accuracy, he talks about, you know, those pinpoint shots. It's funny because when you watch him fight, the shots don't look that hard. They don't. I mean, you see people swinging harder, throwing harder, theoretically landing harder, but yet when he lands, people go down.
Here's the thing, right? I used to play soccer. Mm-hmm. You're a soccer fan yourself, mm-hmm. Okay? And it's probably the same for people who play baseball. The best way to equate this, as a soccer player, when you catch a shot absolutely on the sweet spot of your foot, you almost don't feel the ball. It just flies off your foot, and you don't have to throw your leg with all the power that you have. Quite often, when you try and do that as hard as you can, you don't actually get you don't get the desired effect because the technique and the physics of it doesn't work. Same with baseball. If you try and swing that bat as hard as you possibly can, it doesn't always give you the best connection.
Right.
If you just swing natural and free and you get the timing right, that ball's going over the fence.
Right.
That's what happened with Conor McGregor. It's timing. And he said it in the press conference and he said it in his post-fight interview. Timing will beat speed. Precision will beat power. And That's exactly what it is. He didn't load up on that shot. He just connected, and he connected flush. He connected perfectly with the timing. And sometimes it is the innocuous shots that knock you out.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened there. But it was trained. He knew it was coming. He trained for it. But it was technique. And technique, you know, you could be the most athletic guy on the planet. But if you come up against a guy with technique, then the technique will kill you every time. And that's exactly what we saw there. And this is Jose Aldo. He's not a mug. He's not lost in 10 years.
Yeah.
I've only seen him on the seat of his pants once. And Conor McGregor went in there and blitzed him, just starched him in 13 seconds. Now, I showed this knockout to my dad about 10 minutes ago. I was trying to embed BT Sport, have the clip rights back in the UK.
Right.
I try and use their embeddable clips on the Sun site. I was having a few technical problems with it, so I spoke to my dad on WhatsApp, and so I was getting him to check it out, and I said, "Have you heard about this?" He said, "I heard about it, but I've not seen it." And he watched it, and he's not a huge MMA fan, but he understands what's going on, and he likes his boxing, and he'd seen the Frankie Edgar knockout of Chad Mendes the other day, and he saw that, and he just said to me, "Bloody hell, son, that was a bit useful, wasn't it?" And this is a guy, he's quite cynical, my old man, and he was blown away. He said that was, you know, there was no setup or anything. He just landed it perfect. I said, yeah. And then I gave him the context of the guy he did that to. He wasn't just some no-mark who'd come running at him with no skill. This is a guy who's not lost in 10 years. He's the only guy in the UFC to ever hold a full version of the featherweight championship. Dominated in the WEC. Destroyed the likes of Uriah Faber, who, by the way, had a fantastic performance of his own tonight, a very competitive fight with Frankie Saenz. You know, Aldo is a guy who was top of the pound-for-pound list. And sometimes when you see a knockout that's very quick, you think, it's a fluke. They need to do that fight again. And I know that it was kind of mentioned. That wasn't a fluke knockout. And, you know, It would have been disrespectful for someone to ask him that question in a press conference, but it would have been interesting to get his response to that.
Sure.
Because when something happens that fast and that quickly, and Aldo in his post-fight interview said, "I want to do that fight again. It wasn't a fight."
Right.
It was a fight. And Joe Rogan said, "It was a fight. You just happened to get knocked out very quickly." which credit to Joe. He called it exactly right. But, you know, the fight starts as soon as the ref claps his hands and says,
"That's it.
Fight." Doesn't matter whether it takes 1 second, 10 seconds, or all 25 minutes of a five-round fight.
It's not a weird cut or a sprained ankle.
Absolutely not. You know, you can, and that's the great thing about this sport. You can win and lose a fight at any point through all manner of techniques and means. And you saw that right there. But it was technique. End of the day, that's all it was.
Well, you work for a massive outlet, of course, in Europe. I'm just curious how this is resonating, how Conor is resonating, because I'm curious where his star is, where his position is. Of course, mixed martial arts still growing, especially where you're based in England.
But this is
massive. I mean, this is not a British champ, but it's certainly a European champ. We saw the Irish showing up in full force, but help me understand, and not obviously hard data or anything like that, but is this guy registering on a more mainstream scale in Europe, or is it too early for that?
He's getting there. I mean, in Ireland, he's a superstar. Especially after this, I would assume that he's now the biggest sports star in Ireland. The biggest sports star in Ireland before this was probably the Irish rugby captain, a guy by the name of Brian O'Driscoll, who retired about 6 to 8 months ago. So there was a gap there. Conor was already on the up and up. He's there now. He's the man, right? In the UK, because we're close neighbours with Ireland, we're getting the overspill of that. We're getting the sort of the bleed through, if you like, and people love to watch the guy, whether they're looking to see him win or looking to see him get beat. It's like the Nassim Hamed thing, but he's as close as we're going to get to a British champion. He's not British, he's Irish. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
He's absolutely not a British fighter. People like to lump the UK and Ireland in together. It's a bit of a lazy thing to do. Ireland stand on their own two feet, particularly in terms of MMA. And in terms of their progression, in terms of the way the media have got involved in the sport, they're ahead of the UK. They're ahead of the UK.
Yeah.
And Conor's the guy who's done that. And also great credit to SBG and John Kavanagh, because they've fostered a team of fighters there who, you know, at different levels and in their own different ways have helped sort of back up Connor. So it's not just one person, it's a team. So there's that. But in the UK, I think what we're going to see now, Connor was on the radar already, but what we're going to see now, we're now into Ronda Rousey territory. And I'll explain why, because Ronda Rousey got the headlines in the UK for two reasons. One, she had that crossover appeal and was doing the movies and all the rest of it, but she was winning her fights in jaw-dropping fashion, in ways you wouldn't expect to happen. McGregor just did that tonight. He basically saw Ronda Rousey's achievements and then raised it. 13-second KO. And I think now McGregor's star is just going to rise even more. And I think the interesting thing now is going to be what happens next with him. It's very interesting to hear him talking about trying to defend the featherweight title and win the lightweight title and then defend them concurrently, which, unprecedented, that's never happened. You do sometimes get that in boxing. Well, in years past, that might have happened. But it's never really happened in MMA. And McGregor's a man who likes to be the first man to do stuff.
Yeah.
And I think by winning this championship as decisively as he has, I think he's getting a lot of he's got all the latitude and bargaining power that he could possibly need. He was asked about fighting in Ireland again, and the whole Croke Park question came up. Comes up every time he's in front of the camera, every time. And, you know, we know there are logistical challenges. We also know there are time zone related challenges, because the UFC won't want to take their number one star, because that's what he is right now. Ronda Rousey is a big star, but Ronda Rousey, for all that she is, isn't a champion anymore. Ronda Rousey is a challenger now.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest stars are champions, and Conor McGregor does everything that he ticks every single box, and he's gonna go through the stratosphere on this side of the Atlantic. He's already massive in Ireland, and I think that buzz will spread. So I think as from someone in the UK, I'm hoping. Because we've got kind of a glass ceiling that we're sort of banging our heads on at the moment. We need someone like Conor to help us break through that. And this win from a UK perspective is the best thing that could have happened. So,
well, there's literally vehicles pulling in here to start breaking things down. But let me ask you a question. The fun thing about this sport is it's still developing and it's still always evolving. And you can kind of see how things build on top of each other. And it's really cool to see that. But I mean, the legacy of Conor McGregor is just starting, but if you were looking at him and as a young fighter, as, you know, somebody up and coming or whatever, if you could take one lesson from Conor McGregor, because the guy has gone very shortly from relative unknown to biggest star in the sport, whether it be a technique, a training, a PR, whatever it may be, what would you say, this is the thing you need to learn from Conor McGregor?
The number one thing, I think, is self-belief. I think you look at every great sports star, they have that inner self-belief. And you need to start with that. If you don't have that to start with, then you're up against it. You need the natural athleticism. You need the ability to be able to process information as you're being coached. McGregor's got a very unique talent in that field. And he's his approach to movement and fighting and adapting how his body reacts to situations is completely different to any other fighter we've seen in MMA. You know, it's people come from a wrestling background or they come from a jiu-jitsu background. Conor McGregor, he actually started as an amateur boxer. But what he's done is he's completely obsessed himself almost with the human form and how it moves, and also how animals move as well. It's something he's massively into that as well. And everything about him, it's all about technique. And sometimes, if you take away the external factors and focus purely on what you do, then you're comfortable in the moment wherever the situation goes. And that's a hallmark of the SBG coaching ethos. They don't prepare for fighters. They just prepare for situations. So that whatever happens in a fight, doesn't matter who you're facing. That's why when Chad Mendes stepped in at the last minute at UFC 189, McGregor didn't lift his head off the pillow when he was asked about it. He was like, they're all the same, and just went back to sleep again. And that's what it is. If you can control the controllable, that's a life thing as well as a sport thing. And if you can look after yourself, control everything that you have control over, that gives you the best chance in whatever field it is you're in. Sport, journalism, being a postman, whatever it is, you know. If you can do that, then you're on the way. And a good coaching, the ability to process information, deal with feedback, and a bit of natural athleticism doesn't do any harm either.
Not bad, right?
He's got the lot. He's got the lot.
It does. Well, those sounds in the background are the room literally coming down around us, which I think is probably a good sign. It's funny, I'm looking behind you. There is the Conor McGregor Interim Featherweight Champion banner. Last time we'll be seeing that banner. They'll be scrubbing off that interim tag.
Yeah, there's a Jose Aldo one over there as well. That might come down too.
There's some changes to be made here from the champions banner. It's been a hell of a week. Well, I know you got some travel to get home, and just want to say thank you for taking the extra time. And, man, it's been a – I know there's one more event this year. I'm not going to it. So my year is essentially over.
Yeah.
It's been a hell of a year, but – this moment, honestly, probably stands up with anything else that happened this year, doesn't it? I mean, even the Rousey loss, this stands up with any of them, doesn't it?
I think so. And from a personal point of view, I don't get to cover the sheer number of shows that you do. I do the European ones, and I've been fortunate enough to have my first two trips to the US this year. The first one was for UFC 189. I honestly didn't think we'd see anything to trump that. I think from a... If you look at the main card as a whole, 189 was the better fight card.
Yeah.
In terms of the prelims sucked, let's be honest about that. And then Matt Brown, Tim Means came along. Yeah. But the main card was
which
a barn
is funny, because we thought this one was going to be the one.
On paper,
yeah,
it looked like it might match it, but there was a bit too much respect between the fighters, you know. But, you know, decent enough fights, and there was stuff there to keep you interested. Co-main event blew the doors off the place. Brilliant fight. Luke Rockhold. I said to you after the open workouts, because I think I'd been on Junkie for my media picks and said, I pick Chris Weidman. And I said to you afterwards, I said, do you know, I think I'm very tempted to change my pick just from seeing Rockhold in the open workouts up close. And but yeah, he delivered a performance of a career. And I think now the stage is set for him to go on and become a real great in the sport. He's a specimen, and he's got the lot. So there's that. But then we had the main event. And how he topped 189 was just incredible, because he did it. It was, you sort of look at all the permutations for a fight. You know, you go into a fight thinking, what could happen here? And you could write a little list of things. It's a bit like the Frankie Edgar Chad Mendes fight. You listed all the different permutations in that. I never thought for a minute Edgar would finish Chad Mendes with a left hook knockout in the first round.
Right.
A lot of other things could have happened, but that wasn't one of them. Likewise, 13 second punch of the fight, knockout. If you said that to someone, they'd take you off and put a white coat on you. do you know what I mean? You know, you go off to get your bumps felt. So it's incredible. And to walk away shaking your head, especially, as I say, I've watched lots of different sporting events, and I've been covering MMA for about five or six years now. You've been covering it for longer than that. And for us to both be sitting here and looking at each other, pretty much shaking heads going, well, we didn't see that coming.
Right.
And we've not seen anything like that before. That's what's so great about this sport. It's evolving faster than any sport in the world. So much is changing. The skill level is increasing almost exponentially year on year. And the sport just gets bigger and better and bigger and better. And we've now got a champion who, you know, he can engage with the media, he can engage with the fans, he can deliver on fight night. He ticks every single box going, and he's got the passion of a nation behind him. And to have that, and to have him at the top of the game, at the top of the UFC, you know, we're heading into 2016 on a real high. And from a personal point of view, it's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be able to cover this sport. You know, I feel a very lucky man right now.